Very warm welcome to you all. It's so good to welcome you and to be with you on this. It's a glorious, warm, sunny Sunday. More importantly, just one Sunday away from one of the best days of the year. Did you know that? Next Sunday, what is it? Absolutely fantastic. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. It's really good to welcome you all this morning. And I've got a few notices. In fact, I'm not going to say the first one. Helen. Thank you, Helen. Come and tell us just a bit about what's happening at the moment and coming up this next few days. Thank you.
Thy kingdom come. We're getting closer. We're in the middle of our 9 days, well, towards the beginning of our 9 days of prayer now. And the prayer room is now set up. So do call in, go and have a look round. And it's open during the week whenever the office is open. So do pop in at any time. And isn't it fantastic to be joining with another over 100 countries this week, this time? The sign-up sheet is still going for the 36-hour prayer. There are some slots, so do come and see me afterwards. I'll be hovering with this just to fill the last few slots in, because it's very powerful when we just are continuously praying in the prayer room for that time. And this week there are different events on every day, so if you're able or would like to join in, do come along. There's tomorrow night, praying around the world here at the church. On Tuesday, there's Zoom prayers and there's music, praying through music. On Wednesday, prayers at All Saints. On Thursday, there's a prayer walk going from All Saints. And on Friday, there's praying through art. And Friday evening at 8 o'clock, the 36-hour prayer begins. So lots to do, and do come and join in, because we're also, of course, praying for our five, which is for his kingdom to come in the lives of five friends or relatives or whoever. So do join wherever you can this week. Thank you.
Helen, thank you so much. I'm just going to underline, this is a wonderful time of preparing for Pentecost. And if you can, come along at any time in this coming week to pray, or indeed to pray at home following the daily prayers, what's known as the novena. If you're part of that, do make the most of it. Pentecost itself is just such a wonderful occasion. Is there anything else I want to say to you? Reminder tonight is at the evening service, deeper at the 6, and continuing in the series on
next Sunday.
Very good, thank you. Is there anything else?
Yeah, we're here.
Indeed, and when we're at here, the opportunity to just hear more of the talks, which are so important about the Holy Spirit, really good. I recommend it to you. Very good. Just another reminder, we, of course, after every morning service, after the 10:30 service, there's opportunity for prayer. And if you particularly want or need prayer, then it'll be available at the front here. Do come and receive prayer for those who are willing to pray with you. Also, just to say, any other information that you want about what's going on here at St. Andrew's, look on the website and connect with us through the website. There's lots of really good information about what's going on here, so do make sure you see what's going on there. Anything else? Yeah. Oh, yes, very good. So we have. This afternoon at 3:30, there is what's known as the Best of British. It's the Hill Singers, directed by Carol Green. Well worth coming to. A really good event, and recommend it to you. Doors open at 2:45, and there'll be light refreshments. And looks like a really good event. So it is indeed. Elmsley House, 8 Avenue Road in Northam. Very good.
And it involves both Jane and I.
That sounds like being really good. Thank you both very much. Excellent. Let's just be still for a moment. Some opening scripture from 1 John 4. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Lord, as we come together this morning to offer worship, to be here to meet with you, help us to know ever more fully that you invite us, indeed call us, to live for you. For you are the source of all life. And so we pray that as we spend this time together, you will touch each of our hearts, that you will bless us, that you will fill our hearts with joy, with your spirit, with your life. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand, if you're able? And I say to you again, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for what he has done. He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead. God has claimed us for his own. He has brought us out of darkness. He has made us light to the world. Hallelujah. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. If any of the young people, as well as adults, if you want to get to musical instruments and join in our worship, please do that as we open our worship with Waymaker. We sing together.
This has an amazing chorus describing the God that we believe in. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Just dwell on those words. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
That is who you are, Lord, the one who loves us, who died for us, who's risen again for us. And through this morning, so come here into our midst by your Spirit and lead us on in our walk with you, in our understanding of you, and in all you are to us. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please sit down, and especially if you're a younger member of the congregation, I don't know if you would like to come and join me at the front, because I've got some questions. I've got some things I'd love to ask you about. Do you know all about what I'm going to ask? Come to the front, some of you. Come and join me. And there are some older members, you can join me too. Oh, I can do that. So I'm just wondering how well you all know Jesus. What sort of a faith do you have? And my questions are for you, whatever age. So I'm very keen to know what you think. So here we go. I've got six questions, and maybe we'll have a show of hands to see who thinks has got the right answer. Should we go? Yeah. All right. Okay, so here we are. So in the reading that we are going to have, and maybe you've been looking at already, maybe you haven't, but there are some things that are very important, things that we need to remember, things that are part of what it means to be a Christian. So the passage of Scripture says that we are rooted. What are we rooted in? What are you rooted in? Are you rooted in soil? Or Netflix? Many of you watch Netflix, don't you? So it could be Netflix. Or in Jesus? Hands up those who are rooted in soil. Hands up those of you who are rooted in Netflix. Yeah, you're being very honest, aren't you? And hands up those of you who are rooted in Jesus. Well done. Fantastic. Next question. Here we go. What should you be as somebody who comes to church and somebody who knows Jesus? What should you be overflowing with? Should you be overflowing with custard? Should you be overflowing with thankfulness?
No.
No. Or should you be overflowing with verses from the Bible? Hands up those of you who are overflowing with custard. We need to have a talk afterwards. Okay. Hands up those of you who are overflowing with thankfulness. Yeah, lots of you, and me too. Hands up you who are overflowing with verses from the Bible. It's not a wrong question, is it? Very good. So some of you are good on your Bible. Brilliant. On we go. Next question. Which best describes who Jesus truly is? Who is Jesus truly? What's the most important thing about Jesus? First of all, a very good and helpful man. Secondly, a very religious and prayerful man. And thirdly, God coming into this world as a person. So, what do you think? Hands up those of you who think that Jesus is truly a very good and helpful man. Okay, some of you do. Okay, is that your best question, best answer? Next one, which of you think that Jesus is a very religious and prayerful man? Oh, none of you think so. All right, yeah, very good. And how many of you think that God coming into this world as a person is who Jesus is? Definitely. Very good. Next question then. Okay, so Jesus is a very important person. So what is he the head of? This is quite a difficult question for some of you, so we'll definitely look at the adults as well. What is Jesus the head of? Is he the head of every power and authority? Is he head of the Avengers? Is he head of the family? Hands up those if you think he's head of every power and authority. Quite a lot of hands going up. Very good. Okay, what about the Avengers? Who likes the Avengers? I love the Avengers. But is he head of the Avengers? Probably not, in case you're wondering. But how about head of the family? How thinks that Jesus is head of the family? Okay, yep. He is head of every family, isn't he? Very good. Okay, on we go. Two more to do. What did Jesus do to take away our sins? What did he do to take away our sins? Hold on a second. I'll come to you in a moment. Okay. Firstly, did he burn our sins in a fire? Did he die on the cross to take away our sins? Did he ask us to do jobs for misbehaving? Hands up those who put your hands up if he burnt our sins in a fire. Very good. Excellent. Secondly, hands up those of you who think he died on the cross to take away our sins. You're doing well. But there's a third question. Did he ask us to do jobs for misbehaving? Did he? That wasn't what he asked us to do, was it? Do mums and dads sometimes ask to do things for misbehaving? Yeah, I think they do, don't they? Okay. Last question. Now, did Jesus come back to life so that he could show everyone he's more powerful than everyone on earth and that his greatest power is love? Did he leave his spirit with us so we could have his power on earth? Did he command us to use his power to love other people like he loved us? Hands up if you think that Jesus came back to show everyone who is more powerful than everyone on earth. Hands up if you think that's true. Okay. I'm going to put my hand up. Hands up if you think that Jesus came back to leave his spirit with us so we could have his power on earth. I'm going to put my hand up again. Hands up those of you who think that Jesus commanded us to use his power to love other people like he loved us. Very good. You have done very well. Thank you for taking part. Very good. May I invite children and adults taking children to their groups? If you'd like to go to your groups now, that would be lovely, and we'll pray for you as you go. As they go, here's a prayer. Lord, we thank you for all our families and especially for our children leaving us now. Lord, go with them and help them to meet with you, to learn more about you, to grow in faith, to grow in love for you. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll turn to worship again in a few moments. But first of all, I just invite you to be still. And I invite you, as we spend time together in the stillness, just to bring to God those parts of your own life that you know need to change, that you know need forgiveness, that you know we need to set aside as not what God wants for us. In the stillness, in your own hearts, bring those things, those moments that are ungodly, in your own heart to the Lord in prayer. And in doing so, just know that the Lord, once again, by his Spirit, will meet with us, wants to cleanse us from all that gets in the way of a walk with Jesus. So hold before him in your heart that desire to let go of the stuff that doesn't belong in a walk with Jesus, and to take hold of those things that are good, are Christ-like, are loving, are godly. And so take to heart this prayer. May the God of love and power forgive us all our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us all to new life in Christ. Amen. And if you're able and willing to stand as we turn to worship again, please do so. Stay in an attitude of prayer and worship. And do be free to offer brief words of worship, just as the Spirit touches you and leads you. For Lord, your chains fell off us. We are set free. So we rejoice. Amen. Risen Lord, as we wait together in your presence this morning, bring your word to us, bring your Spirit to us, touch our hearts. You have brought us life in its fullness. It begins here in our walk with you. So now we offer you ourselves and your word for us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do please sit for our readings.
Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15, on page 1183 of the Church Bibles. Spiritual fullness in Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in the baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And the second reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, on page 1092 of the Church Bibles. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Judith.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here. I normally go to the six, so if I don't know you, there's a few faces I don't recognise. Hello, my name's Judith, and I'm one of the lay preachers, and it's lovely to be here this morning, carrying on our series in Colossians. Actually, I've forgotten my Bible. I'm just going to nab it, excuse me. Thank you. I am going to be referring quite a bit to the passage, so you might want to have it open. It was on page 1183. And what we see here is Paul repeating a lot of things that he's already said before earlier in the passage. So if you're thinking, "Oh, I'm sure I've heard that before, it sounds a bit repetitive," that's because you have heard it before if you've been coming along to our series on Colossians. And I think the reason he's repeating it is because he's really emphasising how important some of these things are for this young church at Colossae and for us here today to hear. It's a dense passage. You know, Paul's very good at packing an awful lot into quite a short bit. And what I want to do is trying to pick out what I'm calling certainties and choices. And I'm going to start with some certainties. Because Paul talks about a number of things that he says, just this is how it is if you're a Christian. These are certain. And we've already had quite a good warm-up with Mark's quiz. So hopefully you're ready to hear some of this. And actually we've sung about a lot of them as well. So have a think, see if you can spot them and think about the songs that we've sung. So the first thing that Paul says is a certainty is forgiveness. And we've definitely sung about that. He talked about the certainty of forgiveness earlier in chapter 1, verse 14. And now he does it again in chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. And he's absolutely clear. He just states it as a fact. He forgave us. God forgave us all our sins. And as I hope many of us knew, it's not because we do jobs for God. He doesn't say maybe. He doesn't say, well, when you die, I'll get round to it then. It's done. It's happened. It's past. He has forgiven our sins. And he has cancelled that written code. What's he talking about? He's talking about that Old Testament law that you had to do to be put right with God. The law that so often trips us up that we cannot keep. And Paul's clear too, isn't he, about how this forgiveness comes about. And again, we talked about this in the quiz. That list of regulations was nailed to the cross with Jesus. It was put to death with him. And it's so important, this, isn't it? And it was that hearing that promise of forgiveness when I was 10 years old that personally set me on my walk to faith. So it's really, really important to be clear and certain about that. And secondly, we're promised new life. We have that certainty that just as Jesus was raised from death after he died on the cross, just as he was then raised to heaven, we have an absolute certainty of being raised to life with him. Verse 13, God made you alive with Christ. And we have this slightly confusing, perhaps, to us, talk about circumcision and uncircumcision. What's that about? Well, circumcision in the Old Testament was a sign of belonging to God's people. It was if you were born into a Hebrew family, into a Jewish family, and you were a boy at least, you would be circumcised. And it was a sign that you belonged to God's people. You were one of God's chosen people. And what we're seeing here is God saying, you're all chosen. You're part of my family now. You're raised to life with Jesus. And you're part of the family. You're part of a new people of God. And again, it's not when we do something. He did this while we were dead to in our sins, as it says in verse 13. Something else we sung about, freedom. We have the certainty of freedom. And again, Paul goes back over what he's talked about earlier in the book, that Christ is the image of God. He was involved in creation with him. And in verse 10, as we said earlier, he is head over all power and authority. I find that so important, so reassuring, you know, as we go through life and we face those challenges every day. The things that worry us, the things that make us anxious, the things that seem really difficult, the ill health, the problems. Christ is more powerful than them. Something really important for us to be sure about so we can face those things. And it's more than that, isn't it? Because in verse 15, we have this image of the Roman triumphal procession where Christ is triumphing over those spiritual rulers who have a hold on us otherwise. You know, those habits, the unhelpful thinking patterns, the faulty beliefs, the inevitable sins that we carry out and hold us captive if we don't accept that freedom that Christ offers. And there's sort of two coexisting kingdoms. There's the ones where the powers of the world, the spirits of the world have control, and there's the one that Christ rules. And Paul is saying, we have the freedom to move from one to the other when we have that new life, when we become part of God's family. And then fourth certainty, the certainty of faith and growth. Have a look at verse 7. It says, when you receive Christ, it says, continue to live in him. And then it says, you're going to be rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith. It's passive. He doesn't say, go and root yourselves in him. build yourself up in him, strengthen yourself in him. He says you will be, inevitably. If you're living in Christ, you will grow in him. You will grow in faith. And one of my favourite verses is in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says, when we contemplate the Lord's glory, when we spend time in his presence, we are transformed into his image. I want to pause for just a moment for you to have a look at those. I'd like you to think, on a scale of 1 to 5, where you are at the moment, how certain are you about each of those things? How certain are you about Christ's forgiveness? How certain are you about new life and a new family, about freedom, about faith and growth? Some of you might be very sure. Some of you might be wavering a little bit. Some of you might think, that's new to me. I need to find out more. Just take a moment to think about it. But then just as we have certainties, there are choices that we make in response, because Christ always works in partnership, doesn't he? He doesn't force anything on us. We choose to receive forgiveness. We choose to do it. And of course, many here have done that. But maybe some of you haven't and would like to find out more. How do I do that? What do I need to do? Please do ask somebody about that if that is you. Or maybe you've lost that sense of certainty a little bit, or maybe you know that there's something in your life that you actually need to bring to God and receive forgiveness for. You know, it's not a once and for all thing, is it? It's something we continue to do during our life. So we need to receive that forgiveness. And then we need to choose to live in him. It's interesting, isn't it? I read something quite interesting when I was looking up on some thoughts about this passage. Somebody pointed out, it's a funny phrase, to live in Jesus. And you don't get it in other faiths, do you? You don't live in Buddha or live in Muhammad. You know, you might have belief in them. You might have faith in them. But we actually live in Jesus. So what does that mean? I think it's much more connected to him, isn't it? It transcends just a simple belief. And for me, it's that idea of actually moving in with him. Moving in to the family home. Moving under his roof with our possessions, if you like. We're moving from that world of spiritual rulers into the kingdom of heaven. So we're not just sort of moving down the road, which I'm hoping to do in a few months' time. We're actually moving country. We're moving kingdom. But we need to be bringing everything with us, don't we? We're not leaving some stuff behind in the old house, however comfy that is, so we can nip back there occasionally. We need to bring everything with us and put it under Christ's control. We need to bring the anxieties with us. We need to bring our habits and put them under his control. And that can be hard, can't it, to give up some of those things. But that's what it means to live in him, to choose to do that. And to ask him, Jesus, is there something I need to put under your control that I need to let go of? And then we need to retain that freedom, because in verse 8, it's very clear that we can be pulled back. Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive. And I was thinking about the word captivate, which is a nicer sounding word. You know, we're captivated by a piece of music or by somebody we fall in love with. But actually, it's the same Latin root word that means taken capture, taken captive. What captivates us? What charms, attracts, fascinates, appeals to us that pulls us away from Christ and from his freedom? And he gives some clues. Philosophies and ideas can be wrong. Things that come from what society says rather than what God says. Wrong ideas about God. You know, it's so easy, isn't it? I'm sure we all know people who sort of pick and choose what they believe about God. Well, I like that bit about what the Bible says, but I'm not so sure about that bit, so I'm going to ignore that bit. We need to use our brains, don't we? We need to be thinking about what we believe and why we believe it. We need to be testing things. If somebody says something about God or about faith, we need to think, do I agree with that? Does that come from the Bible? Does that sound like Jesus? Is it backed up by scripture? Let's use our brains. Be aware. Retain our freedom. And then keeping growing. I know I said it's passive. To an extent, it will happen. But actually, there's things that we can do, aren't there? We can put ourselves places where we will grow in faith and as a person. And that's going to vary throughout our life. So here I've got a little seedling. It's a little basil plant. And this sits in its pot on my windowsill at the moment in the sun. Because if I put that outside, it would die. It's young and it's tender and it needs nurturing and caring, and I make sure I water it regularly and turn it to get the light. And I look after it because it's quite young and in need of care. Whereas this chap, this started off as a cutting a little while ago, and it was sat in a pot of water until it grew its roots. And then it got potted up into soil because it needed something richer than just water. And it's been potted up again because it had outgrown its pot and it was getting a bit starved. And no doubt it'll need potting up again, because if you've ever had spider plants, you know they're total thugs and will take over the world if given half a chance. But the point is, you know, these two plants need something very different. And we need different things, don't we, at different points in our life. Sometimes we go through tough times when we're a bit like the basil and we need a bit of nurture and a bit of care and a bit of support. And other times we're a bit like this chap who, you know, we need a bit more nourishment and we need to be getting out there and reading the Bible and talking to people and actively seeking more nourishment. So have a think, are you a spider plant or a basil seedling at the moment? Or maybe something quite different. If anyone wants that basil seedling, do ask me afterwards. I got a bit over enthusiastic sowing them and I'm going to be living on pesto for the rest of the summer if I'm not careful. I don't like pesto much. So anyway, the point is, are you putting yourself in a place and an environment that suits you and is going to help you grow in faith? And finally, again, as we've already said, a final thing, we can choose to be thankful. Paul says that, you know, overflow in thankfulness. And boy, Paul, if you just look at any of the writings that Paul is supposed to have written, he really practiced what he preached, didn't he? You know, he starts off the book, we always thank God. Because when we pray for you, he thanks God for other people, he thanks God for himself, he thanks God for his salvation, he thanks God for Christ, he thanks God for his co-workers. He's constantly thanking God, and something we can and should do too. So there we go. Certainties and choices. We've had a little think about which ones we're certain about. But maybe there's something you could make a choice to do this week. Maybe one of those has spoken to you that you could choose to do. You could choose to find out more about one of these things that you're not certain about. You could choose to bring something to God that you need forgiveness for. You could choose to bring an anxiety that you want to be set freedom from. You could choose to put yourself in a place where you could grow. Not just you, me too. Let's do this together. So I'm just going to give a moment of quiet for you and me to look at those and just think about, is there something that you feel the Lord would like you to do this week to increase your certainty or choice?
Thank you, Judith, so much. I found what you shared so helpful this morning, and I just wanted to give everybody a little more time. The choices that Judith has put before us and reminded us. Pentecost is near. Let's hold on to that day so near and just continue to pray personally about these choices for a few more moments. The choice to receive forgiveness. The choice to live in Jesus. The choice to retain freedom, maybe for some find freedom. And as was so clear from the reading from Colossians, to keep growing in our faith, in our trust in Jesus. Hold these thoughts for a few more moments and allow God's Spirit to speak, to change what needs to be changed in each of us. And so to a prayer, I invite you to echo in your hearts as I pray. And as Judith has shared, I pray, Lord Jesus, through faith in you, you have come into our lives. We trust and pray. And ask that as we have heard, as you've spoken through Judith, may we each know what we need to let go of, what we need to hold on to, what needs to be changed, what we need to be thankful. And as we look forward to the coming of your Spirit at Pentecost, so prepare us each day now for that glorious day that is such a beautiful, wonderful, life-giving day. But it's a day that in our faith in you can be for us every day. And so we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, our risen Lord and Saviour. Amen. We turn to our prayers of intercession and thank you to Barry.
I was reading the Tear Fund prayer letter this week. I was really moved by the extent of poverty in our world today. So this morning, I'm going to invite us to pray in solidarity with Jesus' constant message of love and compassion for the poor, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. And as you can see on the screen, the tear fund strap line is one voice in prayer, praying together for an end to global poverty. And so I'll just share a few images from their newsletter of some of the poorest communities. And so, Father God, that is our prayer, our big prayer to you this morning. An end to global poverty and justice for all your people. And so we bring before you, Lord, illustrations of poverty in the world. And we think of the East Africa famine. It's generally accepted that climate change is having the greatest impact on the poorest nations. And the coming famine in East Africa is an unfolding tragedy of enormous proportions. After 4 years of failed rain, the number of people going hungry in the Horn of Africa will surpass 20 million by September. And today it's reported that more than three million people are already experiencing the most extreme levels of hunger. We lift them to you, Father God. This picture is of a strange named place, Cox's Bazaar in Bangladesh. It has the strange reputation of the longest beach in the world, over 100 miles, and the largest refugee camp in the world, with over 1.2 million people from Myanmar living there. Recently, a cyclone and fire has caused much damage, with over 12,000 shelters like this being lost. And it was on the news, and this poor family just saying they'd lost everything, even the little they had. And now they have nothing. No money. No resources. Father God, we lift this situation before you. Over the last few years, the people of Lebanon have been pushed to crisis point after the Beirut port explosion in 2020, which devastated the city. They've had COVID to contend with, and lockdowns have pushed people further into poverty. Families have experienced huge reductions in income and prospects over these past 4 years. Father, we lift this nation to you. And generally, in many of the poorer nations of the world, they're facing mountains of plastic pollution. It's believed that 2 billion people have no safe way to dispose of rubbish. And it's people in poverty who are suffering the worst impacts of this pollution. And they're forced to live and work among piles of waste, which is making them sick, releasing toxic fumes, flooding communities and causing up to 1 million deaths every year. Father, we just lift this situation to you. One voice in prayer, praying together for an end to global poverty. And so, Father God, that is our big prayer to you this morning. An end to poverty and justice for all. Lord, we lift families who don't have enough to eat. Please provide for them. Bless and protect the crops in the ground to make a fruitful harvest possible. Keep livestock for these families safe from disease and hunger, and bring rainfall where it's needed, we pray. And Lord, we pray for world leaders to do all they can for these situations and to limit global heating. Help the church to speak up and stand with those who are suffering the most. And help us to know what we can do to give, to sign petitions, become advocates for the poor, both globally and in our communities. And finally, we pray with one voice in prayer, praying together for peace. And we continue to pray for countries experiencing civil war, terrorist insurgency, drug wars or invasion. And so, of course, we lift first and foremost Ukraine and pray for peace, a just and lasting peace. And we lift to you, Lord God, the following countries in conflict: Afghanistan, Burkina Faso, Colombia, Ethiopia, Iraq, Mali, Mexico, Nigeria, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Father God, we pray as one for justice, for peace, as we share your prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Barry, so much. Well, we're drawing to the conclusion of our worship together. Just wanted, it seemed good and right to share these just few words that were shared with me before the service. I'll just offer them to you before we close with our worship. These would speak of how much better it is to be in our Father's house. That often we have been like prodigal children, wandering away, but now is the time to return. To return to the loving arms of God, to be made new, and that any chains that may hold us may be removed and we might be once again set free. It's so good to know that in Jesus we are set free. And maybe that's true for one or two of you here this morning. And there's an opportunity for prayer after service. I'll briefly say it again at the end. But now we turn to our closing worship. Do please stand if you're able.
Shame, my dear.
very much want to encourage anybody who needs prayer of any sort. There will be opportunity for prayer at the front here as the service finishes. Do come forward and there will be people here who would love to pray with you. Of course, refreshments in the hall at the back. Do enjoy refreshments and meet one another and have a good chat together. And do just remember all that's happening through this week as we lead up to Pentecost. It's just such a time to look forward to the coming of the Spirit and to be reminded of it, but to make it part of our daily lives as we do so. Just a brief reminder, it's a set of keys for somebody. Left, I believe, in the toilets or somewhere. Keys are here. Come and get them from me if you're missing them. So to a closing prayer. God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk in his risen life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with every one of you and with all those you love, this day and always. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you.